What's up, guys? This is Jeff Cobb from New Japan Pro Wrestling, but more importantly, from the United Empire. And you're listening to Wrestle In.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the April episode of the Purovision podcast. We are back. We have lots and lots to talk about. It's been a busy month of shows, a busy month of news, a busy morning of news. Some news came through just a couple of hours before we started recording, so we will get to that in due course. I am Jamie Johnson, your host, as always, and joining me, as always, first off, Kay, our Dragon Gate expert. How are you?
Busy as always, unfortunately, but I did at least watch some shows this time, so, you know, hopefully I'll be able to contribute.
That's it, and I feel like I'm always glad we have Fuser as well, obviously joining us, that Fuser's the one that watches the shows. I feel like I really don't watch as much wrestling as I should. Kay, obviously you're all over the Dragon Gate stuff, and then Fuser sort of picks up everything he's gone. I've watched that, and we sort of, in the end, we've at least Fuser has seen it, even if we haven't.
It's because he does. He sleeps for like 4 hours a night.
Give or take, yeah.
So how are you this month, Fuser?
Busy, but I had time to watch everything.
That's it. That's what matters. So lots to talk about. We'll begin with New Japan. Obviously, a lot of news coming out of New Japan this morning in terms of the acquisition of the Bushiroad Fight, sort of the subsidiary that's the name they give to Stardom. But we will talk about first the fact that we've got a new IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. It's Jon Moxley. He beat Tetsuya Naito over at the Windy City Riot. And before we talk about the matches, obviously Naito defended against Tsuji before he lost the title to Moxley. I mean, I was shocked by this, but Moxley is the world champion.
Yeah, I think like this is one of those things where like it's not entirely certain what's going on in terms of backstage, right? Like I talked previously about how, you know, Naito's, you know, vision problems and the sort of time limit that's kind of on him because of that. And I do kind of wonder if like maybe something, you know, his vision was getting worse again or something like that. Because, like, in that case, I think this decision would be totally justified, obviously, you know, to sort of spare his health. But if that wasn't the case, I do think it's a bit of an odd decision to, you know, once again cut Naito's reign short and, like, once again have it sort of fizzle out weirdly in that sense.
Yeah, definitely. I thought a weird call in that I saw a spoiler for it, unfortunately, in that I just wasn't expecting it. So I was just scrolling through Twitter on the morning, obviously, because it being in America, it was a sort of 1-2 o'clock in the morning for us over in the UK. So I sort of woke up, had a scroll through Twitter, and then there it was, Jon Moxley holding the title above his head. And I don't know about you, Fuser, but like I said, I couldn't quite believe it. And I think I had to watch it maybe to believe that it was real.
I made the foolish mistake of buying indie show tickets the same day as the Windy City Riot. So I was also in the same boat as you where I saw the spoiler for it. I looked at my phone during the intermission and someone pinged me in a Discord saying, "What are your thoughts on Moxley winning the championship?" And I responded in all caps, "Wait, Moxley won the championship?" So a little bit in the same boat of just like, I was completely surprised. It's interesting because, well, he's not signed to New Japan, obviously. He's with AEW. So, like, the title isn't in Japan right now. But, like, he is working the two Wrestling Dontaku dates. And there's, like, a little concern of, like, well, like, our world champion isn't around for, like, the Road 2 shows and stuff. And so, but, like, I guess it's kind of, like, my Western wrestling brain, like kind of like the way I was raised with the wrestling stuff, where it's like, it, yeah, but like if you look at the like the time span of Windy City Riot to Dontaku, it's only 2 weeks. Like that's not a long period, which that's the whole like Road 2 tour for Dontaku, so he's missing that. But like I think it's just like the Western brain is kind of just being like, it's not that big of a deal missing that much time, but it seems that it has kind of swayed people's opinions on him winning the championship, because I don't know if he's like not seen as like a fighting champion or something in this on the Japanese side with being in America.
I sort of feel that maybe he's just not going to hold it on for long because, like you said, it's a bit against the grain, isn't it? You don't often get champions that don't turn up in Japan, sort of doing all the Road 2 shows. I mean, Naito was you have all the tags, don't you? You don't really do anything in them, but you sort of sit on the apron and you're there, aren't you? So you're constantly present as a champion.
Mm-hmm.
Moxley obviously isn't going to be that. It'd be interesting to see if he holds that title for long. I'd be surprised if he holds it for too long. I was more surprised that they didn't drop it to Tsuji. Obviously, Naito beat Tsuji just a week or two before the Windy City Riot show. I know that I'd tipped that. I mean, I don't know. Well, last year anyway, that Naito would win at Wrestle Kingdom and then drop the title to Tsuji in this sort of time. And I thought, I'm on here. I can come onto the podcast and sort of celebrate my great prediction. And then he didn't win. And then to sort of compound that, he then lost the title to Moxley the week after. So it was a strange one. It's an interesting direction. I think like what you bring up, Fuji, about the fact that he's not signed is interesting because I think the argument always used to be with Minoru Suzuki that they'll never give him the title because he's not signed, whereas John Moxley's not signed and he's now the world champion. So I think it sort of it seems to be a play to keep that Western audience interested because, I mean, I don't think you need to be a genius to realise that the audience outside of Japan is sort of slipping away a little bit from New Japan, not only because of sort of AEW, but just how it's looking, the product at the minute. And I think it's really starting to put people off. So maybe this is just a play to appeal to that audience, maybe get some AEW fans back over with him turning up on the title, with the title, I beg your pardon, on AEW shows. So I think it's one to keep an eye on. A quick note on the match itself. It was pretty good. It is worth checking out. It was a lot more, I thought, of a Moxley style match than a Naito one. It built really nicely. And you saw all the kickouts towards the end with Naito sort of kicking out of a couple of Death Riders made you think that he would retain. But then eventually Moxley, he got the job done in the end, didn't he? So it was a good match, worth watching. And probably even more exciting with the fact if I had watched it without knowing the result, because those near falls, some of those were very, very tight. So yeah, a good match. But like we've all sort of said, they're a surprise, Kay.
Yeah, it's really, really, like, it was really shocking. It was really a sort of what moment.
Yeah, definitely. On his challenges coming up, it's worth noting that we've got a couple lined up. He's got Shota Umino and Ren Narita as I sort of navigate to the dates for those. Wrestling Dontaku on the 4th of May, the second night. He defends against Ren Narita, and then the winner of that goes to Wrestling Resurgence just a week later in Canada, the Toyota Center in Ontario, and the winner defends against Shota Umino. So
I'm gonna correct you really quickly. This happens literally all the time. Ontario is in California. That is a city in California. It's not in Canada. Ontario is a province of Canada, but Ontario, California is a city in California. That's it's close to where the Young Bucks grew up, I'm pretty sure.
Mm. I mean, and Ontario in my head is Canada, and it said CA, which, yeah, California. I guess I just sort of I use that to compound my so yeah, I shall have another stab at that. Ontario in California, and that's when he'll defend against Shota Umino. So what do we make of that? Do you think he's going to drop the title? I mean, obviously you'd be very surprised if he dropped the title against Ren Narita, but will he drop the title against Shota Umino? What do we think?
I'm thinking he loses at Dominion. I don't know. I don't see Japan or New Japan doing two shows in America where their big top title changes hands twice in the span of like a month. It makes the most sense to me to be Dominion or even Forbidden Door. Because Resurgence is kind of, because like it's Resurgence is like happening like a week after, like you said, and it's not gonna be any like build or anything to it. But with Dominion can have more time to create a story with it. And even if you decide to go the Forbidden Door route, then you also have AEW TV to build another story with it. So I feel like if anything, he's going to hold it for the month of May and then lose it at some point in June.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. I can definitely go with that, Dominion being the place that he loses his title. I think it's worth mentioning that he's sort of fighting young guys, isn't he? Obviously, Narita and Umino. That is a positive sign in all of this, that he's facing sort of that younger talent. And hopefully he can put them over and do more for them than New Japan have done in the last couple of years, because they're in a bit of a sticky situation that they've had to, not had to give it to Moxley, but the fact that that's an option, I think, says something about the fact that New Japan haven't made any new stars of late. But lots to talk about, as I've mentioned a few times. We'll move now to our sort of next news note, which came through this morning at time of recording, and that was New Japan acquiring Bushiroad Fight, that it will be renamed to Stardom Co. Limited, if I am reading it correctly. So Bushiroad Fight technically is just the name given to the Stardom branch. And New Japan have acquired it. So what do we think about that? It reads to me maybe it won't make a huge difference in sort of it was under the umbrella anyway, but it's under New Japan control now.
I don't think too much is going to happen in terms of like the business side. I feel like Stardom will just run the same it is currently. It's just that now there might be a bit more collaboration with New Japan. So we might end up seeing more Stardom wrestlers on New Japan shows and maybe even more stuff like historic crossover happening more often. And it's just New Japan helping with the business side of stuff with Stardom, which could also be very beneficial for the future, especially since they're starting to do a few more newer things recently, streaming their shows on Stardom World and stuff. So that'd be beneficial to get some help with that side of it because of New Japan World. So I see it as a plus. There's not really anything bad about it because, like you said, they're already under the Bushiroad umbrella, both companies. So it's not like a thing that they're just like starting to swallow up Japan and monopolize Japan or anything. I feel like it's going to benefit both sides.
Yeah, Kay, do you have any thoughts on it? I sort of agree with Fuser there that it is maybe just more of the same, and it is going to be, it's a rebrand, but won't have any sort of material impact.
And for me, like, I try to not form an opinion about stuff like that before we see what it actually means in the product. I mean, yeah, I guess we're just gonna, like, over the coming months, we're probably just kind of gonna have to wait and see how it affects the promotion.
Yeah, definitely. So that it's one to keep an eye on, isn't it? Next month after, maybe we'll have a bit of a clearer idea of where that's going. Speaking of a clearer idea, we have a much clearer idea of sort of the Best of Super Juniors, where that's going to go. The lineup is out for that. I'll have a quick run through who is the 20 entrants for debutants we've got this year. We've got Sho, Hiromu Takahashi, Kushida, Taguchi, El Desperado, Kevin Knight, Bushi, Titan, TJP, Francesca Akira, Doki, Robert Eagles, Taiji Shimori, Yoshinobu Kanemaru, Clark Connors, Drilla Maloney, and then we get into the debutants there with Koji Fujita, Blake Christian, Ninja Mac from Noah, and another one from Noah, Hayata. It's a Best of Super Juniors field. To be honest, a bit like Kay on our last point, I don't really have an opinion on it. Fuser, do you have an opinion on this Best of Super Juniors lineup?
Do I have an opinion on the Best of Super Juniors lineup? But boy, howdy do I. First of all, where is Speedball Mike Bailey? Like, how do you not invite Speedball back for this year after the fantastic last season? You're going to have Hayata in the tournament, but not Speedball Mike Bailey? who was beloved by the Japanese audience as well. I think the thing I'm most like hanged up on is Hayata of all people. Like, it feels like Gato and Hiromu Takahashi had a conversation. Gato was like, "Hey, who do you want in the best of Super Juniors?" And Hiromu went, "Oh, I want Ryzen Hayato." And Gato misheard him and thought he said Hayata and was like, "All right, say less. I got you." And just like hit that speed dial number and got him into the tournament.
Yeah. I think that would be a reasonable explanation. I mean, Blake Christian's maybe the one that's egregious to me. Do we need Blake Christian in there? Who's ever watched a good Blake Christian match? But
oh my god! I can't help but remember that Blake Christian treated like whenever new guys comes in here, I tell him if you can't have a good match with me, then like you're not gonna make it. And he posted that like right after a match with like Yamato, you know, one of the biggest legends of one of Japan's biggest promotions. So you know, if you can't have a good match with him, that's your fault, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, maybe that's just true. It's like Battle of Farley. If you have a bad match with Battle of Farley, that is not Battle of Farley's fault. It really isn't.
bit harsh. You're the problem. Battle of
Farley. Yeah, exactly. You mentioned Spiro Mike Bailey. I think that's quite an interesting one. I think I've seen enough Mike Bailey matches to last a lifetime after WrestleMania weekend that we will get to momentarily. But, why is he not included over Blake Christian? Why is he not included over Hayata, who's he's not my cup of tea. I'll say that. Go on.
Just right there, another like Ninja Mac is in the tournament. You know how much I would pay to watch Mike Bailey versus Ninja Mac? I don't have a specific number, but it'd be a lot of money. Like that match. Like there's so many matches that I look at this like with like the new names coming in, like Blake Christian, more or less, and like Ninja Mac and stuff. I'm looking at these names. I was like, wow, this is like, could be great matches for someone that could match their caliber, like Speedball Mike Bailey. But instead, we're going to have Hayata against Sho and Hayata against, I'm actually struggling to think of other members of the House of Torture that are just junior heavyweights. Yoshinobu Kanemaru. Like, we're going to get matches like that. Who wants to watch that?
Yeah,
genuinely, I want someone out there to find me online and say to me, "Hi," like very seriously, not ironically or anything. Say to me, "Yes, I would enjoy a match between Yoshinobu Kanemaru and Hayata."
I think you've made some excellent points there. Do you have a pick for a winner? I mean, I don't think they've announced the blocks yet, have they? So maybe it's a bit futile picking a winner.
I don't think they've announced the blocks yet, no.
That was the latest bit of news. At time of recording, they may have announced it by the time you get round to listening to this, but at the minute, they've not announced the blocks, so maybe it's a bit futile picking a winner. Do you have any sort of early bets, though, Fuser?
As I quickly scroll through the list of
like,
people...
While you have a look, I feel like Hiromu is always just safe money, isn't it? There's always a good chance that Hiromu could win.
Hiromu is very safe. It's as best as Rui Jr. is trickier to predict nowadays.
Yeah.
And not because it's like, oh, anyone could win it. It's a thing of you're going to look at who Gato books to go to the finals and you're going to go,
Gato
really?
Doesn't know who's going to win it. That's the problem.
Yeah, Gato knows who's going to win as much as we know who's going to win at this point. I don't know. I think Hiromu's a safe bet. But like last year I had Hiromu versus Desperado make the finals and it was Teton versus Master Wato. So like I'm going to say I'm just going to say Despy. Despy probably is anything.
There we are. We picked the two that the obvious ones, the obvious juniors.
Did you mention Yo's injury?
He was removed for Kushida, wasn't he? With his bit of a knock he's picked up. I don't know what the injury is, to be honest, but he's injured. He's no
shoulder.
Longer. He dislocated his shoulder. Well, my thoughts on that are not there. I mean, it's Yo. I've not seen a Yo match for a long while now.
I'm surprised they didn't have Ali replace Kushida or Yo instead, because he did mention in like backstage comments about him not being in the Best of Super Juniors. So a lot of people were like, okay, cool. So they're building up that Mustafa Ali is going to take his spot. And then New Japan went, okay, cool. So Kushida's replacing Yo. And then everyone was like, wait, what do you mean?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I understand the point, actually. We'll pivot over to WrestleMania week. And just see, you mentioned Mustafa Ali. A little bit off topic, I guess, but you brought it up, and I can't resist that. Anyway, he's on the Windy City Riot show as well, wasn't it? Mustafa Ali's not had a good match since he left WWE. It's sort of come as a bit of a shock because he was like he was going to come out and be this amazing sort of prove that he should have been more in WWE, but he sort of come out and had a lot of just average matches. That match against Hiromu on the Windy City Riot, I know we sort of talked about the main event of that show, was abysmal. It was they tried to do some comedy, didn't they, with like the ripped version of the Daryl stuffed teddy that Hiromu carries around.
Don't you shit talk Daryl around me.
And then they just sort of had a match that happened that just didn't mean anything. And on WrestleMania weekend, it's just some really poor matches. So I'm a little bit glad he's not in Best of Super Juniors, I have to say. I don't think I could sit through a few more Mustafa Ali matches at the minute.
That hurts. Considering I thought a couple of matches that Ali's had this year have been pretty good.
Which ones? Which ones?
Him against Saban for the X Division title at No Surrender. I thought that was a very good one. And I actually didn't hate him against Hiromu at Windy City Riot like you did. I thought if they maybe got in 5 minutes, it would have been even better.
Yeah, maybe if they sort of just cut the comedy and just had a match, it might have been a little bit better. Having a bad match with Hiromu is difficult, isn't it, the best of times? So. But yeah, someone who has had some good matches over WrestleMania weekend, we'll pivot that way, is Mike Bailey. He was on the DDT show over WrestleMania weekend. We'll touch on the DDT, the Dragon Gate involvement over that weekend. He had a really good main event against Yuki Ueno right at the start of the month, 4th of April, if we can cast his minds back. It feels a very long time ago. I was watching all these shows. That was a really nice main event. It built really nicely and sort of a really frantic closing stretch that they sort of do well, these two. Takeshita had a nice match with Katsumata. There was a really nice sort of like a lion tamer Boston Crab sort of thing that I remember being quite gruesome looking. I believe it was the finish. Then my sort of notes from the things to pick out from that, some great comedy with the Yoshihiko I can't even say his name, but the Yoshihiko match was a good laugh. Shitan as well there you are. Shitan as well had a match against a bloke called Dan the Dad, who I'd never heard of. But that was hilarious. I thought that was absolutely hilarious. So if you've not, pretty much, if you've, regardless of whatever we talk about on this podcast, if you've not seen one match, watch Dan the Dad versus Shitan from that DDT WrestleMania weekend show. Because that was fantastic. There's sort of my thoughts on the DDT involvement of WrestleMania weekend. Kay, Fuser, anything to add? Any more Dan the Dad versus Shitan thoughts?
I did think, and also something I want to mention is don't stop watching after the bell. Keep watching the post-match. Yeah. Jesus God. I watched that, I actually watched that live because I switched over from the Mark Hitchcock Memorial Show stream for reasons. I really enjoyed that match. That was amazing. And I think the way that the audience loved it, including, a bunch of people who hadn't seen DDT before that point, kind of proves how, how much comedy wrestling can also be effective on audiences who aren't that familiar with it yet.
Yeah, comedy travels, doesn't it? I mean, it's universal and sort of and you could tell, the crowd loved it, didn't they? So.
Yeah.
You want your 5-star classics? Nah. I want Dan the Dad versus Chiton.
In fairness to him, that Dan the Dad, he's got a gimmick that works. I mean, I was quite impressed. It's new. Never seen a gimmick like that before. And it worked. I was pleasantly surprised. As he sort of walked out and I was like, oh God, why am I watching this? And then about a minute later, it was like, oh, Shitan's here. This is hilarious. So, Yeah, fantastic stuff. You mentioned the post-match with sort of Chris Brooks, and that led into the Yoshihiko match. So it was like a half an hour of bedlam. That it's those sort of bits that's the bits you can't explain when you're watching wrestling and someone walks into the room and you can't explain that sort of stuff. You can explain like a Mike Bailey UNO main event, but as someone walks in and you're watching Chitan against Dan the Dad, it's very hard to explain why you're watching that and how it has happened. What choices led you to that moment, and but it was a great time. Any other thoughts on sort of the DDT involvement, and then Kay, I know you've got some thoughts on Dragon Gate and their involvement over WrestleMania weekend.
DDT has had really, like, over the last couple of years, this year and last year, their collaborations with GCW has been very good. Last year's had, like, their DDT show in Hollywood was top-notch. This year, their show in Philly was top-notch. Mm. Whenever GCW brings them in for the collective during that Mania weekend, they always come out and put out a great show. I really enjoyed the DDT show. I think it was the best. Yeah, I would say, like, behind Supercard of Honor, it was the best show of the weekend for me. But yeah, now I'm thinking about, I had other thoughts, but then you brought up the Dan the Dad thing, and I'm just thinking about the Dan the Dad Chitan.
And that is all that matters, really. In the grand scheme of things, Dan the Dad Chitan's where it is. But yeah, no, I agree. One of the better matches of the shows, I beg your pardon, of the weekend. I watched a lot of wrestling that weekend, and remembering what I watched is as difficult as sort of picking out what I enjoyed and didn't enjoy. But I do, sort of in like the sea of it all, I remember enjoying the DDT show, which I guess is at a sign that I've sort of remembered it and remembered why I liked it and so on, which is always a good thing. Kay, you enjoyed, there was a bit of a Dragon Gate show, wasn't there? I know that the main event with Mike Santana and Yamato was talked about a lot. And
you mean the crossover show with EDU? Yeah, like the Dragon Gate guys were at a lot of shows this weekend. I think, like, pretty much, like, most of them worked at least two matches per day.
I watched that trios tag match with the same people in it about four times. It's like Shun Skywalker doing a few dives on repeat. It was that.
There were a lot of Dragon Gate matches this weekend. The ETU show, I think, like, that was actually really good. Like, the production values are as you would expect. It's a pretty small indie. Production values weren't super high, and the fact that there was a weed ad during a Dragon Gate crossover show when two members of the Dragon Gate roster were not too long ago allegedly fired for drug use in Mexico. That was quite something. But aside from that, the matches were really good. Like, I'd actually really recommend, if you have IWTV, that's a streaming service it's on, have a look at the ETU versus Dragon Gate crossover show. It's very good. The matches are great. Like, all the wrestlers really brought their A-game. I'd recommend pretty much every match from the show. I mean, you can skip the opener if you really want, but like, all of them are good. Aside from that, we also had the Dragon Gate versus CMLL match, which I think, like, probably, like, people expected a bit more from. But I mean, it was a good match, and the ending kind of tied into the current storylines they have going on in Dragon Gate, which is very impressive because the guy because of which it tied into that, KZ, wasn't even originally meant to be in the match. So they kind of made that happen on pretty short notice because Benkei couldn't come down due to flight problems. So I think that was really impressive about that match. And I think, though, what the other really good thing aside from the ETU show you should 100% watch from this weekend in terms of Dragon Gate is Dragon Gate six man at Joey Janela Spring Break. That was really good. Again, a lot of people, I think, as I often say, kind of expect all of Dragon Gate to basically be those Ring of Honor six men from the 2000s. Like, maybe don't go in with that exact expectation. I think that's often kind of like disappointing, because like the wrestlers nowadays and in general aren't all like that. And especially wrestlers like Shun, right, try to sort of preserve the bump cut a little bit and work through that with more, you know, character stuff. But it is a very, very good six-man match, and I recommend checking it out.
Yeah, no, I do remember that. It's pretty decent, though. It was the highlight of all the little tag matches that they were having through the weekend. Yeah, so that's definitely worth checking out. On the same weekend, there was a show over in Japan, April 4th at DDT on the 7th, that was, of April. I watched a couple of matches, but the main event really is the talking point. Aoki versus Hashimoto was the other one I watched, which, if you like that sort of technical sort of wrestling, submissions and counter hold and that sort of thing, if you like that, this is a match for you. That more sort of, I guess, an MMA sort of style was fantastic. I loved it. It's right up my street, this one. So if you've got a spare 15 minutes, watch that. I think it's one of those that sort of got lost in the shuffle being over WrestleMania weekend. So that's definitely worth watching. But the main event, Mao and Ueno, they sort of flew back from America with Chris Brooks, who was on the other side. I'm assuming they all sort of came back together. And Zack Sabre Jr. teamed up with Chris Brooks. Very good stuff. It just went on a bit. It was one on paper looks fantastic. I mean, Mao, Ueno, ZSJ, Brooks looks fantastic on paper. Probably went just too long. It was a good fun, though. It had a bit of everything, is how I described it, with like sort of ZSJ's style, the DDT comedy, Ueno flying around, Chris Brooks doing his usual. So it had a little bit of everything, a bit of a flavour of all four of them. But just for me, just too long.
Yeah, I think length is really was a bit of a problem. Like, I was doing, you know, some light at-home weightlifting during that match, and well, my arms are dying today, so that kind of tells you something about the length of this match. But yeah, aside from that, I think it was a really fun match. Like, obviously, I think the length is kind of a condition of them having to go to the time limit draw, because New Japan absolutely refuses to have any of their wrestlers lose a match, and disqualifications, I guess, kind of get old after a bit. And, you know, Ueno and Mao are, you know, top baby faces, so maybe you don't want to have them disqualified or something like that. So yeah, I guess it kind of had to be that way because of booking reasons, but it would have benefited the match if it was just like a little bit shorter, I think.
Zack Sabre Jr. killed Pocatan. That was all I needed. He flat out ripped off Pocatan's head and yeeted it off the balcony. That's all I needed. 10 out of 10, 5-star contest. But yeah, like you guys mentioned, it was long. I'm not super picky about match lengths unless it's like, you know, an hour or something. But like, I'm not super picky about stuff that goes to time limit draws as long as it's worth going to a time limit draw over. This match, I say, was worth going to a time limit draw. Both teams were all over the place. There were a lot of fighting in the crowd. They got in the ring, then they went up to the balcony. Zack Sabre Jr. committed murder, and then they went back to the ring. And then it ended in a time limit draw. And like Kay mentioned, it was all the elements of each of their own personal styles and everything. And like, Zach and Chris kissed at the end of the match. So like,
oh yeah,
why can you hate it? How can you hate it?
Yeah, wrestling is gay. By that point, that was after the match, you say.
Oh, come on, Jamie. Wrestling is gay. Why not make it gayer?
Yeah, I mean, that like, that also happened, I think, during WrestleMania weekend. Like, it didn't make it on camera there, but, like, there are some fan recordings, I think, where, like, Ueno and Mike Bailey also kissed after their match. So it's, I think, yeah, DDT very much has embraced the wrestling is gay
there idea. You go. There you go. Zach and Chris kissed. Mao, you said Mao and Mike Bailey?
Sorry. Bueno, did I say Mao? I thought I said
no, you
Bueno,
said
sorry.
Ueno, yeah.
You said Ueno? Okay, Mr. There you go. Zach Chris kissed. Ueno Mike kissed. Mina Shirakawa and Mariah May kissed. WrestleMania weekend was for the gays.
Well, I mean, and on that note, we shall move over to to Dragon Gate, obviously. I almost forgot, then, I have to admit, okay? I was almost skipping ahead to the Golden Week. But we have one final thing to talk about before we get there. Dragon Gate, the big tournament final from April. Kay, what did you reckon? You take us through it.
On the note of wrestling extravagance, the story, the entire story of this year's Rey de Parejas tournament was that Dragon Gate really likes Naruki Doi, and Doi doesn't like Dragon Kid, and that they were teamed up on Dragon Kid's request to the general manager for this tournament, and Doi ended up promising him that if they win the tournament, then he's going to give Dragon Kid a free second hug. And that he was called Not Hug. And Dragon Kid, as he later explained, entirely due to that promise, at like 47 years old, like fought his way through that entire tournament. And they, in the finals, they faced the also pretty new team of Yamato and Susumu Yokosuka. And like that was really interesting as a match in general, even, you know, aside from the story, because in Dragon Gate, at least nowadays, like it's very focused on the young guys. But this time, the main event of this tournament was all veterans of the promotion. And they, in the story and out of it, like really sort of set the goal for themselves of showing that they can still go and that they can still also be main eventers, like even if they're not, you know, the future of the promotion in that sense. And like the match ran really, really hard. Like I was also working out during that, and like during this match, like all of my tiredness disappeared and I managed to get in like 50 more reps because it was so hype. It was amazing. I really recommend checking that out. And of course, Dragon Kid and Naruki Doi won, but Doi still refused to hug Kid. I mean, he pretended he was going to, and he just threw him to the ground and said like he's gonna actually hug him if they get the tag team titles from Alejandro and Kaito Kiyomiya, who have been, at least in the story, sort of holding them hostage. Like they haven't been wearing them to Noah shows, like they haven't shown up to big Dragon Gate shows to defend them. It's kind of like a story of, you know, restoring the honor of the promotion to get them back. So that's you know, that's something that's coming up on May 5th, in fact, at Dead or Alive, which is Dragon Gate's second biggest show of the year usually. And this year we are going to have the cage match again, which is normally like characteristic of this event, which we didn't have the last 2 years, which is also something that I highly recommend people wait for and check out once it, you know, happens on the 5th, because that is story-wise like really, really interesting. It kind of builds on the whole Sean Skywalker, Jason Lee, Jackie Funky Kamei, KZ and Big Hug story, sort of like there are a lot of cogs in motion in that match. Like you have Sean having succeeded in recruiting Jason, like the grudge between Jason and Kamei and KZ, who he betrayed to join Sean, like Sean wanting to recruit Kamei, Hyo wanting to, as he puts it, show Kamei what true love looks like and then convince him of his love. And yes, he actually said that. You know, KZ wanting to also keep his faction together, because part of the stipulation is, like, if anyone loses, like the one person who remains in the cage in this match is going to lose their hair, or in Shun's case, their mask. But if KZ loses, he also has to leave his faction, Natural Vibes, which he founded. So it might as well just spell the end of that faction altogether. So that's kind of like an interesting match emotionally. And it's going to be really interesting to see, like, who loses it. I'm really not sure who it's going to be. Like, it might be KZ because Natural Vibes is really old for a Dragon Gate faction and they might, you know, decide that it's time. But it might also be, like, one of the other guys. It's really hard to tell.
Well, fantastic. As we... next month, we'll be talking about that, won't we, obviously?
Yeah, probably.
They're always good fun, those cage matches. I've watched a couple of them. They're always a good laugh. lots of story as well, which is always always nice, isn't it? And you'll have to, I'll have to re-listen before I watch it, and then because I feel like the complaint I have for Dragon Gate is that I never know what's going on. Whereas obviously, for anyone who doesn't know, okay, you've just explained it very nicely there. So that's an interesting one. We'll keep an eye on that on the 5th of May. A couple of shows, one before it, one after, that we'll round out the podcast with. On the 4th of May, Noah at Ryogoku Sumo Hall, Wrestle Magic, the show, but the card isn't very magical at all. Main event, Kiyomiya against Dr. Wagner Jr. for the heavyweight title, the hardcore title, which I will be honest, I'll peel back the curtain slightly. This is how I found out this hardcore title exists. I don't know how long it's been a thing for, but Ninja Max, the hardcore champion, he's defending against Suji Ishikawa. Dagger defends against Alejandro, the junior title. There's an open challenge for the tag titles. And that is about it, really. The Stardom match. Oh, it's not a Stardom match. Oh, no, it's not Stardom, is it? It's Marigold, the new one. And there's a three-way junior heavyweight tag that's got a mystery X in there.
I should make a note that this is only half the card as of right now. Noah did confirm that there will be another six matches announced later.
I don't know if that's any better or not. Yeah, well, what do you make of that? I look at that card and it looks like a show I will be skipping.
Yeah, I'd say, like, if I'd mostly just watch the show if we agreed to it for the podcast, or yeah. If the mystery part yet to be revealed includes Dragon Gate wrestlers, then I'm obviously going to have to watch that because, you know, perfectionism and all that. Yeah, I mean, as it is right now, like, it might be, maybe, you know, since the idea is that it's kind of like the pay-per-view version of those Monday Magic things, might be that they're bringing in some interesting people, but, like, as it is right now, I don't know.
I'm going to watch it. I'm contractually obligated to. I mean, I look at the card and it's like, I don't know. Like, Kaito Wagner could be pretty good. The 8-woman tag. As long as Great Sakuya doesn't suck, then that match could be pretty good. The tag title open challenge, it will be a team outside of Noah because they did, like, Morris and Green did say that they want to face someone outside of Noah. It's an open challenge, but no one from the Noah roster is allowed. So it will be someone outside of Noah. I don't know if they're going to do some weird swerve thing because they did battle a couple mecha mummies a couple weeks ago for the titles, kind of building up to it, but I don't think it'll be a swerve. Ninja Mac, I like Ninja Mac. Shuji Ishikawa, I like Shuji Ishikawa. Daga and Alejandro, that's a match. That's all I have to say about that one.
Just to sort of piggyback on that, I'm a big fan of Ishikawa, so that could be interesting. And to be honest, like, in terms of his in-ring work, I think Dagger's pretty decent. He's in sort of that Aita school. Like, him and Dagger, they're in sort of that same sort of field of sort of luchadors without masks who don't really wrestle that Mexican style. But yeah, so yeah, a couple of people maybe more than matches. But yeah, carry on, Fuser.
And then the three-way survival match for the junior tag titles. That one's interesting because Dragon Bay and Alpha Wolf have said that they're no longer junior heavyweights, but then they got booked for this match. So I guess it's after this match that they're no longer junior heavyweights. But yeah, that one could be good. I'm interested to see who Shuji's partner is.
Gunke, anything to add?
It's just, I think all weight classes are, like, often in wrestling are a little bit kayfabe, but like sometimes people raise the curtain a bit higher than maybe they should with stuff like that. And yeah, I mean, yeah, it's not much to say about the card. And also, but I do think, like, did you say that Eta doesn't have a Mexican style? I think he has a very Mexican style with, like, his submissions. But
no, I feel more like not the like the flips, the luchador-y style. I guess I've sort of, Mexican's probably not the right word because I've sort of lumped everything in the luchador thing. But he hasn't got the
high flying style.
The high flying style. I think I was trying to get at. That was uneloquently describing that.
Okay, makes sense. Yeah, now that someone in the audience is going to be like, "Oh God, they're saying Eta doesn't have a Mexican style." These people know nothing about wrestling.
I think it's a good point you bring up. I don't think I described it very well. I think he doesn't have that high flying style. Is probably what I was trying to say. I'll be honest, I think Eta is very good in ring. I really enjoy his matches actually. When he was a junior heavyweight champion, I used to quite enjoy the matches he had. It was always a good bit of fun. But the last thing we'll talk about, so that's on the 4th of May, the 5th of May, obviously we've covered with the big Dragon Gate show. And then on the 6th of May is the All Together show. And hold my breath as I read out everyone involved in this. New Japan, Noah, DDT, Dragon Gate, Big Japan, and Stardom. The United Japan Pro Wrestling. That umbrella that we talked about a few months ago, that is the sort of house for this. In terms of running down a card, it's not a card to be run down, really. The 6 matches announced so far, all tag matches aside from Kenno versus Koji Fujita. The only one that I sort of pick out as, that's an interesting one, is Umino, Kiyomiya and Ueno against Uemura, Takeshita and Skywalker. It's nice to see, I'm sure you'll agree with this one, Kate, it's nice to see Shun Skywalker getting lumped in that crowd with the big guys in Noah and DDT. What do you make of this show? I guess it's more of a concept rather than a card so far that's setting the world on fire.
Yeah, I do think, like, for that match that you mentioned specifically, that's sort of marketed as, like, the future of Japanese wrestling match. I do think it's good that Shun is in it, precisely because he's not the kind of guy who I think a lot of Western fans at this moment would say is, like, a future of Japanese wrestling guy, because, like, he's a lot more focused on, like, character work and storytelling and that sort of stuff, right? Like, that's his big talent. But I do think it's good that is getting sort of recognized as, you know, just as much of a factor in whether you can be the future of wrestling as, you know, pure in-ring athletics and stuff like that. So I think that's very good. Like, that's also a good sign for, right, the style that he currently has, the sort of idea of sort of sparing your body a little bit and being kind of on your body by replacing those really, like, dangerous moves. I mean, he still does them sometimes, but most of the time with that sort of character work. I think him getting into a match like this is also kind of a good sign that maybe that might become more accepted in Japan as well, which, you know, obviously is maybe gonna save some wrestlers some nasty injuries in the long term. And I'm really looking forward to seeing that match. I think it's going to be very interesting. I do think that, like, both the fact that it is a tag match and that the other ones are tag matches, you know, probably connected to sort of, like, booking politics, it's a lot easier to all agree if you always have at least one guy in these matches who can take a pin without completely, like, devaluing a top star in your promotion. I think like one of the other matches that's, you know, kind of interesting that's on the card that's also kind of Dragon Gate related is Sanada and Kai, who previously were also a team, I think, in All Japan, versus Zack Sabre Jr. and Chris Brooks. So like that's, I think, for a lot of Japanese fans, especially like older Japanese fans, I saw a lot of excitement of that about that match, you know, for that has a lot of nostalgia value for them. Though I am kind of curious about how people who haven't seen Kai since his All Japan run are gonna react to like the current version of him. that's gonna be interesting, or if he maybe, you know, gets a little bit serious in this match, because like he is very good when he gets serious, but it's unclear whether he'll do that.
Fantastic. Well, I think as we've shown there, there'll be a lot to talk about next month with all the various shows, the Best of Super Juniors, obviously, as well. So we will be back same time, same place next month. But before we go, Kay, where can the listeners find you?
You can find my work on 5starnetwork.co, where I, you know, post my regular Dragon Gate interviews. We currently still have two of those. We have one in progress, one in the sort of negotiating phase, and another interview also coming up sometime whenever the person has time. I guess if you want to see me very occasionally post about wrestling and, you know, specifically Dragon Gate, you can follow me on Twitter at CaseQuest. I have a thread there also, which contains all of my articles so far, including an article that got mentioned on commentary at WrestleMania weekend.
You can find that. I remember that. I was like, yeah, is it the DDT show? And then there was a nice shout. It was one of the GCW collective shows, wasn't it?
It was the Joey Janela spring break after the match ended.
Yes.
The commentator shouted out the article.
Yeah,
they sort of fading like, to one, those Joey Janela shows, those GCW Joey Janela sort of shows.
Yeah. I wrote that article specifically because I was getting a little bit frustrated with like commentary teams saying like, oh yeah, Shun Skywalker, one of the fastest wrestlers, or something like that. I wrote up an introductory article for fans and commentary alike because before that show, because, you know, obviously like to a lot of people doing that kind of research is very time intensive. An article on the three younger stars who, you know, were at WrestleMania weekend. So if you're interested in them, that article is not only for that weekend, it's still accurate, still up to date. So, you know, check that out maybe if you want.
Fantastic. Yeah, definitely worth checking out that. And for myself, jjohnson_16 on Twitter, all my sort of my work, wrestling or otherwise, it's on there. Fuser, finally, where can people find you? Anything to look out for?
You can follow me on Twitter and see me talk about things. And also I'm on Total Nonstop Talking and All Elite Listening. And maybe more things in the future. I have ideas that I have yet to execute.
Fantastic. Yeah, lots of it. So watch it's this space moment on the wrestling podcasting network. So subscribe, follow wherever you listen to your podcasts. And yeah, there will definitely be some fantastic ones to listen to, as well as us this time. Same time, same place next month. So thank you, everyone, for listening. And we will see you again next month.